You're listening to From the Bottom to the Top, the show about how to bring your business to the top in sales, productivity, and profits. Coming to you from the Malden Group Studio, here's your host, Ms. Bonnie Rainmaker Malden.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for listening today to From the Bottom to the Top. I'm your host, Bonnie Malden. Looking forward to giving you great information to help you grow and go to the next level. Today on the show, I have Rush. He graduated cum laude from Cornell University with a Bachelor's of Arts in African Studies and Business Management. At Cornell, Rush was a two-time captain of their football team and inducted to the 4.0 Breakfast Club in 2014. He also earned the National Football Foundation Scholar Athlete Award in addition to the Jack Murphy Big Play Man of the Year Award. Outside of athletics, he was a prominent member of Cornell's Multicultural Concert Funding Advisory Board, also finding time to host a show on Cornell Radio. Prior to joining Northwestern, Rush was initially an intern with the company and after a brief stint of playing arena football, also spent time with the Community Capital Funding Group, helping small business owners secure debt and equity financing. Currently, Rush has been a perennial $1 million round table qualifier, and in 2022, he was recognized by the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors as one of Atlanta's top advisors under the age of 40. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce to you, Rush. Thank you so much for being on the show. It's a pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you for having me, Bonnie.
Of course. Give you a little round of applause there. Woohoo! Glad to have you here.
There we go.
All right. So can you just give us a little background on how you started your career?
Yeah. So originally, I was born in Detroit, Michigan. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. So I spent the majority of my formative years in the cold, which is sure in stark contrast to the Southeast where I currently reside. As a kid growing up, I was really into athletics. I played football, I boxed, I played baseball, a bunch of different sports. And, I was probably the best at football, which, afforded me an opportunity to go to Cornell University. Obviously, you gave some of my bio there, Bonnie, as far as things I was able to accomplish while I was at school. But once I got out of school, like for most people, that's when life really started. And, I had aspirations to play in the NFL, and I spent, about 2.5 years pursuing those dreams. But ultimately where I landed was back in the financial services space. And that was primarily because when I was playing, I didn't have a lot of money. It made me become uber cognizant of the importance of finances and, having resources available and being able to steward those resources appropriately. So, in thinking about what I wanted to do next after my career, I knew I wanted to be in finance. So I just didn't know how. I connected with a few mentors in my network. Obviously, I had this opportunity, Northwestern, during my undergrad years. So there was some conversations that got rekindled there. And before you knew it, I was, running my own financial planning practice. And, we've been growing and scaling things out ever since.
That's great. You said we went from sports to finance.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So tell us, what type of myths do you currently run into when it comes to investing in finance that you'd like to dispel today?
Yeah, I mean, I think a better way to frame it is just like, what are some things that people struggle with, right? And I think a lot of finance is grounded in rationality, and human beings are by nature irrational creatures. So you know, things that I see people struggle with, you know, often revolve around them appropriately leveraging insurance products like life insurance and disability coverage and just not being able to account for risk appropriately. Other things that I see people struggle with is, you know, not necessarily clearly not having a good grasp or firm understanding on how publicly traded investments work. I think that it's pretty clear when somebody invests in like real estate or something like that because it's tangible, you can touch it, you can feel it. You know, you can reappraise a house after you build out that new deck or redo the kitchen or whatever the case is. But, you know, when you put money in an investment account, it's just kind of money just floating around in there, right? And I think that obfuscation between the underlying asset and its value often, you know, stumbles people in the or I guess trips people up in the world of investing. So I think a lot of it, if I can boil it down simply, is people get in their own way, right? When it comes to finances, and a lot of the so-called myths are born from people getting in their own way, you know, as in regards to, you know, properly managing some of their money.
Okay, so you have the option of working with a financial advisor or planner. You have the option of going on Robinhood or E-Trade and trading these publicly traded companies on your own. So what mm-hmm. is the benefits of working with a financial planner?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first thing is that they're not mutually exclusive, right? So you being able to manage personal investments versus working with an advisor, I don't think they're in opposition to each other typically. But the real benefit is planning, right? I think the real benefit, especially in a world where, you know, to your point, Bonnie, you can fire up a Betterment or a Wealthfront account or, you know, all these large, you know, financial institutions offer algorithmic investing and robo-advising and things like that. Like, needing to be a smart investor isn't really, I think, the value add when it comes to planning. I think the real value add is being able to be strategic and nimble with your money and making good financial decisions is where we come in. So case in point, like this year has been incredibly challenging in the markets, right? You know, as June peak drawdown in the S&P 500 was over 20%, which technically puts us in a bear market. You know, for most of the year, we've been kind of bleeding out and hemorrhaging. So where we've been able to create value for our clients is, you know, one thing is saying, hey, if you have your 401k, this would be a great time to accelerate your contributions because you're effectively purchasing assets at a discounted price. You're getting 20% off, right? It's the same thing as going to Target and, you know, everything in the store is 20% off. Well, you know, publicly traded securities are trading at a discount. Great time to buy, especially if you already know you're going to put the money in there, something like a 401k. Or alternatively, if like you have old retirement accounts and, you know, maybe your income is taking a dip this year, whether it's because you're going to get your MBA or maybe, you know, you've chosen to, your spouse is working, you've chosen to stay at home with the kids or whatever the case is, you know, things that you could look at would be, you know, what's called a Roth IRA conversion, which is something that we can talk about at greater length. But, you know, executing that strategy in a quote-unquote bear market makes more financial sense because it's more cost-effective when you're paying taxes on when you pay taxes on compressed asset prices. So I think those are the real value adds, is being able to help people think through those strategies and the implementation of them and how that fits into a broader, more overarching plan. And then I'd say lastly, Bonnie, what people often fail to get a grasp on or understand is the spending of their asset base, right? Like, it's to your point, it's easy to fire up the E-Trade account. It's easy to fire up the Robinhood account, et cetera. But how do you spend from it, right? How do you hit the age of 60, 65, 70, or, however old you are, or if you want to do an early retirement, you know, how do you plan around spending for the rest of your life? And I don't think a lot of people think critically around that portion of it, just because, one, it's kind of over the hill, but two, there aren't a ton of resources outside of what planners would offer that can help you think about that.
Okay, so let's talk about investment tools or mediums that people can use nowadays. So you have your 401k, and you mentioned the IRA, a Roth, and then you have your traditional RIA, and you have, you know, CDs, stocks, bonds. Can you tell the difference between those different outlets for investing?
For sure. Yeah, I'd first want to clarify the type of security, clarify the difference between a security and an account, right? An account is somewhere where you house different investments. So some of the things that you mentioned, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, certificates of deposit, or not a CD, or maybe a CD, certificates of deposit, money markets, et cetera. Those are all things that you can invest in and can be placed into different types of investment or retirement accounts. Now, as far as investment / retirement accounts, you really only have, call it, four places where you can put money. You have your 401k or Roth 401k or some sort of three-number IRS code account, so that could be like a 403B or 457B, or if you're in the military, it's a TSP, et cetera, but they all do the same thing. You have your traditional IRA or your Roth IRA, which is basically an individual retirement account, and the difference between the traditional IRA or the Roth IRA and the aforementioned, you know, 401K, 457B, 403B bucket is just contribution limits. You know, from a tax perspective, they work the exact same way. But if you're contributing through an employer-sponsored plan, you're going to be able to contribute up to $20,000 per year into that account, versus if you're putting it into an individually sponsored plan, like an IRA or Roth IRA, which stands for Individual Retirement Account, you'll only be able to do about $6,000 per year in those accounts. But aside from that, they get taxed in more or less the same way. The third leg of this would be an investment account, right? So that's the things that you mentioned before, the TD Ameritrades, the E-Trades, the Webulls, you pick it, you name it. Somebody is doing it to make some money off of it. So you have that account. And then lastly, you have insurance and annuity products, right? So if you're familiar with like whole life insurance, that's a place where you can effectively save money. And then, you know, certain types of deferred annuities, variable annuities, fixed annuities, which are basically the best way that I can frame them is they're self-funded pensions, right? So they're retirement plans that you set up for yourself where you're guaranteeing yourself some sort of future income. But I say all that to say that the stocks, the bonds, the mutual funds, the ETFs, et cetera, in some capacity will fit into one of those four buckets that I mentioned, whether it's employer-sponsored retirement plans, your 401Ks, your 457Bs, your 403Bs, et cetera, whether it's individually sponsored retirement plans individually sponsored plans, I'll go with that. That'd be your traditional IRAs, your Roth IRAs, your taxable investment account, your brokerage account, however you want to frame it. Those are your Robinhoods, your Webulls, and then insurance and annuity products. It's kind of like the lay of the land as far as all of your options, if you will.
Okay. Well, thank you for telling us about those four buckets and how those different areas like stocks, bonds, ETFs can fit in those buckets. We're going to go to a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about life insurance and how those how the life insurance can not only, you know, be there for you if someone passes away, but can also be used as an investment tool. We'll be right back.
You're listening to From the Bottom to the Top from the Malden Group Studio. We'll be right back after this break.
I really can't thank the Malden Group enough and your entire team for everything that you've done for us.
The biggest thing about working with the Malden Group is the number of things they took off of my plate. The marketing and website and everything, search engine optimization, not only did they take it off my plate, but they took it up several notches to a point that I would never have been able to do myself.
The Malden Group's been great as far as the website, as far as our marketing, advertising, paperclips, Facebook, all of it.
And as we move forward, we get a lot more response to our website. We have a lot more phone calls coming in.
We feel very thankful to have such a top gun team on our side.
I don't know where we would be today if it wasn't for the expertise that you, Bonnie, and your team at the Malden Group have been able to offer to our school.
Thank you so much, Bonnie. I definitely think of you as one of our trusted partners, and we really appreciate all the support that you continue to give to us. And we look forward to growing together with you guys.
Is your digital marketing feeling a bit too cookie cutter? Are you not gaining the qualified leads that produce the right customers you need? The Malden Group is Atlanta's premier marketing agency, delivering customized digital marketing programs for any budget. Don't trust something as crucial as your digital marketing to someone who lacks a unique approach. Call us now at 678-846-2306 or visit us at themaldengroup.com. Let us take your business to the top.
All right, we are back. We are back. So glad to have an amazing guest on talking about finance, investments, and insurance. And so right now I'd like to talk a little bit about the different types of life insurance. What are the different types, Rush?
Yes, you have two families of life insurance, if you will, Bonnie. You have permanent life insurance and term life insurance. On the term life insurance side of things, that's most synonymous with any other insurance product that you'll see, right? So like your car insurance, your home, health, and auto insurance, et cetera. Basically, it only pays out if something bad happens, right? And if nothing bad happens, then you just kind of spend the money. The benefits of term insurance, Bonnie, is that it's super inexpensive. You can easily, you know, depending on your age, obviously, but, you know, premiums for $1 million on a term policy will range anywhere from as low as $40 to $100 a month, right? Which is pretty asymmetric when you think about what your family would get in a worst case scenario. The drawback of term life insurance, though, is that it's limited, right? It's only confined to a period of time or term, and that term will usually be anywhere from 20 to 30 years of length of time. So if you live outside of that term and you're not dead yet, then your insurance coverage will expire, and if you want insurance coverage at that point, you have to reapply, and chances are, you know, you're in your 60s or your 70s, you probably can't get it. And even if you can, you probably don't want to pay for it. So that's term insurance. Really good short-term solution. Really good if, you know, you have kids, financial dependents, a mortgage, things like that. And you'd want to make sure that your family is provided for in your passing. Permanent insurance is different in that, one, it's coverage for your whole life, right? And then two, unlike really any other insurance product, there are ways to draw or borrow from these policies. If you've ever heard of, or if you're familiar with people borrowing or withdrawing money from, you know, whole life insurance or variable life insurance or index universal life insurance, basically what they're leveraging is some variation of a permanent insurance product, right? Benefits of permanent life insurance are, you know, really the two things that I just mentioned, right? One, the coverage never goes away, and two, You get to draw down from the contract while you're still alive. The downside, though, of permanent life insurance, if this is even a downside, is that it's more capital intensive, right? So it just costs more for the same amount of coverage of permanent insurance coverage that it does for term insurance coverage. So when I frame permanent insurance policies for my clients, usually we're not using them to manage short-term risks. Usually we're doing it for two reasons. One, because they appreciate some of the savings aspects of it. But two, we're trying to manage the long-term risk of insurability, right? The likelihood that you're going to live a long time and you're going to outlive the term policy, and in that time frame, you would want to have something locked in at today's rates that would still pay out your family something when you pass. But those are some of the different types. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, that answers it great. So term life insurance, that insurance policy tends to be for a quite a bit more if something goes wrong and someone passes away, untimely death. You know, you can get up to like $1 million, $500,000, you know, a considerably large sum of money. However, it is a term insurance, which means it expires after a while,
right?
And you don't get anything if you don't die, basically. But that permanent life insurance would be like a whole life policy, for example, where you can get it covers you your whole life. However, the policy may not be as much in value, but you can borrow from it if you need it.
Yeah. You hit it right on the head. You did it better than me.
Okay. And then so would you recommend people get both term and whole life or just one or the other?
Yeah, generally I recommend both. I think it's, you know, definitely situationally specific as far as, you know, one, what are some of your goals and objectives? But then two, you know, what are some of your current assets? You know, there's definitely an argument for self-insurability where, hey, I can outlive my term policy and I would have enough in assets that would be able to finance, you know, my passing or the legacy that I want to leave for my family. But, you know, there's some arguments as far as being able to leverage insurance products to amplify that legacy or being able to protect that legacy, you know, from things like estate taxes and things like that. So generally I recommend both, but it varies situation specific. You know, for some people we might weight them more towards just, hey, all you really need to think about is term insurance, whereas others, you know, they might want to take a more of a permanent approach.
All right. So we're learning a lot from you here, and I am just so excited about being able to share this great information, learning about the four buckets, the 401k, which is your employee sponsored retirement account, your IRA, which is your self-created traditional Roth, and then you have your annuities and then your taxable accounts, which would be like your Robinhood, which you say, Robinhood and the E-Trade type deals. And then you can put your assets, which is your CDs, stocks, bonds, ETFs, money markets, inside of the four buckets.
Correct. Right? Yeah, man. You must be taking notes.
All right. And then so you have your permanent insurance, which covers your whole life. You can borrow from the policy, but it costs more. And then you have your term life insurance, which is inexpensive, but it's limited. It is a short-term solution, but it's good if you have kids and you want them covered if you have untimely demise.
Yep.
But you can have both, one or the other, but it just depends on, you know, your individual situation and what's going to be the best to meet your needs. So it's best to have a financial advisor to kind of help you talk through all that.
Yeah, you are spot on this.
Now, the only thing that I've always been a little bit confused about are annuities. Can you explain that again for me and how those work?
Yeah, So there, you could think of them as self-funded pensions, right? Basically, you invest into an annuity contract with an insurance company. The insurance company then takes those funds and they reinvest it into what are effectively mutual funds, but they're called sub-accounts. And long story short, the money goes into the stock market in most scenarios. In some scenarios, you'll find out you'll invest in something called a fixed annuity. So you'll get a fixed interest rate. But long story short is you put the money in, the money gets invested, it grows over time, and when that contract comes to the end of its term, you can annuitize the investments. And what that means is, let's say I have $1 million in my annuity, I can annuitize it, and instead of just cashing out on the million and walking away with it, I can have the insurance company pay me $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month, whatever the number is for the rest of my life. Right, or for the next 10 years, or the next 20 years, or whatever time frame I were to pick. So they operate, you know, it's a way to create some level of guaranteed income in your retirement plan. And, you know, there's a ton of different ways that you can structure them and fund them. But at a high level, that's kind of the functionality behind it.
So who would be responsible for setting that up? Is that your financial advisor or the individual themselves would set up their own?
Yeah, you'd probably have to go through a financial advisor. I don't think there's anywhere where you can just set up an annuity. You might be able to go to a bank and maybe purchase one, but you generally want to have it part of an overall financial plan, right? So like when we enter into retirement with our clients, we have all these different assets that, and this is when we talk about the value of planning, you know, we need to figure out how to spend everything down, right? You know, we have real estate that you own. We have your work retirement accounts. We have your personal investments. We have savings. You know, maybe we have some annuities in there, et cetera. We have some level of Social Security. So just getting a good gauge on, you know, how to decumulate that down and really be efficient around taxes is really why you'd want to go through an advisor and setting up an annuity or just, you know, thinking through that part of your financial plan.
All right, good deal. And are these investments typically tax deductible with the insurance or the other investments in the four buckets?
Yeah, so usually anything that's going into a 401k can go in pre-tax, which is tax deductible. Anything that goes into a traditional IRA, depending on your income level, can also be deducted from taxes. Traditionally, insurance and annuity contracts are not tax deductible. If you were to place, and this is where we get a little tricky, but if you were to place an annuity inside of an IRA, in that scenario, you would be able to lock in some level of a tax deduction. Or if you were to structure an insurance policy for your business and potentially write off those premiums as a business expense, that might be another way to create some level of tax deductibility. But conventionally speaking, the two routes to go would be some sort of traditional IRA or a 401k if you're looking for tax deductions on investment contributions.
All right. So you're listening to Rush. And how do you pronounce your last name, Rush?
It's Imhotep. So it's M as in Michael, H-O-T-E-P. Yeah.
Imhotep. Okay.
The I is silent. Imhotep.
All right.
Stay with me.
Got it. Cool name. You listening to Rush Imhotep. He is highly knowledgeable, obviously, as you can hear today. We've gotten lots of good education here, and I would advise you to call him for your investment and life insurance needs. And, Rush, what is the best way to get in touch with you?
Yes, one of the best ways is to just reach out via our website. It's rushimhotep.nm.com. That's an easy way to get a hold of us. And on the website, you know, if you want to set up a call or something like that, you can track us down. Another way is if you're on LinkedIn at all, you can find me on LinkedIn and feel free to reach out. That would be Rush Imhotep. It's just my name. And if you type in Northwestern Mutual, I should pop right up. But those would be the two, right? I would say our website, you know, rushimhotep.nm, so nancymary.com. And then the other one would be the LinkedIn, which is just my name.
All right, cool. It's been a pleasure having you on the show today. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank you, Miss. I appreciate you.
All right, we appreciate you too. And again, you're listening to From the Bottom to the Top. I'm Bonnie Malden, founder and CEO of The Malden Group, professional web design and digital marketing agency here to serve your needs. If you're needing a strategic plan to grow, generate leads, and expand your brand to new heights, we can be found at themaldengroup.com. I'm always here to help you grow and go to the next level. I love bringing these awesome experts here on the show to expand your knowledge in areas of business, marketing, profitability, and productivity. And today, Rush gave us some really good tips on the four buckets of ways to invest your money and how to cover your life with life insurance. And I would recommend that you talk to Rush if you have questions about what we talked about today on the show. So, again, this is another great episode of From the Bottom to the Top. Get in touch with us when you need us. And stay tuned for the next episode. We can't wait to see you there as well. Also, get in the know with our upcoming events. We have an event coming up on September the 26th. It's an amazing workshop with Wendy Watkins talking about mind, body, and business and showing you how to harmonize your life and create work-life balance. So you can learn more about that event at events.themaldengroup.com. All right, we are going to close out, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to our podcast, From the Bottom to the Top. Please visit BonnieMalden.com to connect with us on social media, subscribe to our newsletter, and stay up to date with our programs. Have a great day as you go to the top.